Sandy, I have really enjoyed getting to know you. You have brightened my life. I want you to know that I am not in this for kicks and giggles. I'm looking for a partner to share my life with. How would you feel about exploring that possibility with me? I asked Sandy that the third time I spent with her. It was on our second date. And it was our DTR, Define the Relationship talk. 2 months later, we were engaged. 7.5 months later, we were married. So, here's the question. When did the relationship start? When did it get serious? When did it become exclusive? Now, for me, almost immediately. Sandy took a little bit longer. That was the beginning of our relationship, and that started out well. It started out a little bit differently than a friend I had in high school. Our relationship started with a fist fight. And I'm really glad, I think Sandy's really glad, that our relationship didn't start with a fist fight. I have another friend from college, and our relationship started when we started talking about our background, how he was raised, how we were raised, and how we came to be in that college. And we were like, oh, that's so similar. And after we graduated, we would get together with our wives, and we were friends for a long time. So how did the relationships in your life begin? Think of the people in your life. How did those relationships begin? What was it that connected you with those other people? Was it you went to school together, you had common interests, you lived on the same block, you met by accident, you met on a blind date? How did they begin? Relationships start in so many interesting ways. But here's the question, will they last? How does a relationship last over the years? There are steps and phases that relationships go through. Last week, we looked at the words of Jesus in Matthew 28 about becoming a disciple. We painted the picture of what a mature disciple looks like. A disciple is public about their faith in Jesus. They obey him and they have a confidence in their walk with him. You can go back to last week's message and listen to that. We have plenty of outlines if you want those. But so that's the picture. So how do we get to that point? How do we help others to get to that point? And God has given us some direction in his word, and this morning we're going to walk down a path with a guy and see how he grew as a disciple. To do that, we're going to go to John chapter 3. And right away we're introduced to the character. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. These were the people that fought with Jesus most often. After dark one evening, he came to Jesus. He came to speak with Jesus. He didn't want anyone to know that he was going to have a conversation with Jesus. And so it was kind of like one of these things. Psst, hey, Jesus, can we talk? And so why did he go to Jesus? He says that. Rabbi, he said, we all know. We. Who's we? Does he have a mouse in his pocket? Who's the we? Go back to the very beginning. Who was he? He was a Pharisee. That just blew my mind when I thought, interject the word Pharisee in that. We Pharisees all know that God has sent you to teach us. How did they know? How did they know? He keeps going. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. See, the steps of a disciple, notice the evidence. Notice the evidence. Nick, can I call him Nick? We're brothers, so I can call him Nick. He saw miracles. Have you seen miracles? I've seen miracles. Changed lives. Those are the biggest miracles I have seen. And I was thinking, like, who were the people in my life that got me thinking, wow, I want what they've got. And I remember camp counselors. I went to summer camp starting in sixth grade. And there were these guys that were like 4 or 5 years older than me. And they were cool. I've never been cool. They were cool and they loved Jesus. And I was like, I want that. I want that. Have you seen miracles in people? I don't know if you know this. During the week, you probably see cars in the parking lot here, and you go, what's going on there? Was it a party that I wasn't invited to? No, it's Weight Watchers. And so relax. Nobody's leaving you out. But Weight Watchers meets here a couple of times a week. And there's a lady that's a part of that I've gotten to know, Georgia Baker Tenney. And early on, Georgia came to me and she said, there's a guy that's a part of your church, and I want to let you know that when God got a hold of his life, God really changed his life. He said, there's a drastic difference I saw in his life. And I said, that's really cool. And he sits right up here. His name's Scott LaRue. And God has done a work. That's a miracle. Amen. And you see Scott, and you see the after Scott, right? You see the after Ken. You don't know the before Ken. And so those who have known us have seen changes in us. And so who were the people, first of all, in your life that were like pointed you to Jesus? Who are the people that are seeing you? Is there evidence in your life that God came in and completely rearranged things in your life and you're a different person? Is there evidence in your life? The first step of a disciple is to notice the evidence. And then it goes on in verse 3. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? So, the second step, ask the questions that you have. There is this crazy philosophy in the followers of Jesus. You can't ask why. Don't ask why. Never ask why. Have you heard that? Well, you can't ask why. Yes, you can. Yes. Ask why. He did. I don't understand this. In fact, we see that all over Scripture. Did Jesus yell at him and say, stop asking why? No. In Scripture, we see it a number of different places that we are told to seek him. How do we seek God? We seek God by asking questions. How do we understand more? By asking questions. Proverbs 8:17, Isaiah 45:19 and 65:10, Jeremiah 29:13, Hosea 5:15, Amos 5:4, Matthew 6:33, probably others. One example is this one, 2 Chronicles 7:14. Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and do what? Seek my face. We're supposed to seek him and turn from their wicked ways. I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land. We seek God by asking all of your questions. God is not intimidated. Will he answer all of them? I don't know. But he will respond. And there's a difference. As a church, we're reading through the book of Job right now. And just to give you a heads up what's coming this week, God will respond to Job. Does he answer all of his questions? No. But Job is satisfied. And that's what happens as we seek God. God will respond. He'll respond to the questions. So seek him with all the questions that you have. Then in verse 5, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and of the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you hear the wind and can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. How are these possible? Nicodemus asked. Be honest with what you're struggling to believe. Be honest with what you're struggling to believe. That's what Nicodemus did. He was honest. It's common to have a picture in your head of the type of person that God can use. You've done that? Well, you know, you see somebody, maybe it's a TV preacher or some great athlete or somebody, and well, yeah, you know, obviously God can use them, but they are way different than me. God can't really use me, can he? And there are things that we struggle to believe. And be honest with God about those things. God, I have a hard time believing. And be honest with God. Let me let you in on a secret. God already knows. It's for your benefit that you tell God, God, I'm struggling with that. And God goes, yeah, I know. Thanks for telling me. Now I can help you with that. Be honest with God. That's the step we need to take as a disciple. And then in verse 10, Jesus replied, you are a respected Jewish teacher, and yet you don't understand these things. I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe when I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned, but the Son of Man has come down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up a bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. That right there, he talked about being lifted up. That's prophecy. He's prophesying of his own death. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world. You're wrong, and you're wrong, and you're wrong, and you're wrong. Not to judge the world, but to what? But to save the world through him. Challenge your thinking with God's word. A disciple is one who challenges their thinking with God's word. Now, you may wonder, well, how long does that process happen where you challenge your thinking? There will come a point in time where you won't do that anymore. And that's after you stop the throbbing in your wrist. It's an ongoing process that we're always taking God's word. That's why we've got to be in God's word on a daily basis. It's so amazing, the Word of God. You reading it. I've read it a couple of times, right? And yet, I'm reading a passage I've probably read 20 or 30 times. And I read that, and it goes, oh, I feel checked in my spirit. You know what that means? Like, I'm reading that, and I go, oh, Kent, that's not true in your life right now, is it? No. And God continually challenges my thinking with His Word. See, what was Nicodemus's thinking at that point? Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And the philosophy of the Pharisee is you do all the things on the outside, and if you keep doing the right things on the outside, it'll change you on the inside. Look good on the outside, right? I sold insurance for a period of time, and you learn to make your presentations, and one of the things the guys would say is, just fake it until you make it. That was the Pharisee's philosophy. Fake it until you make it. Make it look good on the outside and do everything to look good and pious on the outside, and eventually that'll change you on the inside. And that's the exact opposite of what Jesus was teaching. Jesus said you need to be changed from the inside out. Like a new baby being born again, you need to change from the inside out. And we don't know. I mean, I wish we would have more detail about how Nicodemus, you know, changed and developed. But we get a few snapshots into his life. Later on in John chapter 7, there's this incident where we see a little bit from him again. Verse 45, when the temple guards returned without having arrested Jesus, the leading priests and Pharisees demanded, "Why didn't you bring him in?" They said, "We've never heard anyone speak like this." The guards responded, "Have you been led astray too?" The Pharisees mocked. Notice that, they mocked. You sense the kind of atmosphere in the room at that time? Is there a single one of us rulers or Pharisees who believes in him? What does that mean? That means that Nicodemus hasn't said anything publicly yet. Right? He wasn't vocal about his faith yet. This foolish crowd believes him, but they are ignorant of the law. God's curse is on them. Then Nicodemus, here we go. What are you going to do? Nicodemus, the leader who had met with Jesus earlier, spoke up. "Is it legal to convict a man before he's given a hearing?" he asked. They replied, "Are you from Galilee?" Which, another way of saying, are you stupid? Those were the people they looked down on. "Are you from Galilee too? Search the scriptures and see from yourself. No prophet comes from Galilee." Is that true? Yes, that's true. Jesus is of where? Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus of Nazareth. That's Galilee. When the Messiah comes, he'll be born where? Bethlehem. Where was Jesus born? Pharisees didn't realize that. God pulled a fast one. And so they didn't realize Jesus was the Messiah. But what did Nicodemus do at that time? It's kind of a tough environment, right? They were mocking. They were yelling, "Begin to speak up." That's what Nicodemus did. Begin to speak up. You know the hardest word to say? The first one. Just get the ball rolling. Open your mouth. Say something about your faith. Well, how do I do that? One simple way to start is simply talking about, "Hey, you know, I was at church on Sunday and we did this," or "we talked about that." And tie it into something you're talking about. Look for an opportunity. Ask God. Like, I don't know, are some of you Do you like to live on the edge? You want some excitement? Here's how to do it. Are you ready? At the beginning of the day, say to God, God, if you give me an opportunity to share about my faith, I'll do it. And he'll do it. And it will be scary, exciting, fun, great, amazing. And he will give you that opportunity. And so just begin to speak up. And that is what Nicodemus did. He started speaking up. We see, we get this idea in our head, to really speak up, I need to get a stepladder and stand on a street corner in New York and start yelling, repent, repent. No, it's just as simple as saying something to a friend of yours. Or saying to your waitress or waiter, hey, listen, we're going to pray in a little bit. Is there some way we can pray for you? You have no idea the kind of doors that simple question will open up. Begin to speak up. John 19, verses 38 to 40, we hear from Nicodemus again. Afterward, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus because he feared the Jewish leaders, asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. That was after he was crucified. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came who? Our friend Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. Why does John repeat that? Why does John say that? Is he rubbing his nose in it? No. He wants to show the change that's happened to Nicodemus. Nicodemus at first was, psst, Jesus, can we talk? And now he's going with Joseph of Arimathea to get the body of Jesus in a very public way, saying we're going to anoint his body. He said he brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made from myrrh and aloes. Following Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with spices and long sheets of linen cloth. So, what's another step? Partner with others on the journey. Partner with others on the journey. How do you stop being a secret believer? Find a friend. Two secret believers found strength in getting connected. Find someone else to partner with. That helped them to do what? Take a bold stand. Take a bold stand. That's a bold way to come out of the shadows. To say, hey, we're going to anoint. You guys crucified this guy. All the leaders in Jerusalem hate this guy. We don't care if you know who we are. We're going to take care of his body. And that cost Nicodemus more than money. He was no longer hiding his commitment. When most others had abandoned Jesus or were hiding in fear, Nicodemus and Joseph took a bold stand publicly. They were no longer secret. Christian tradition tells us that Nicodemus was martyred sometime in the first century. He gave his life. Now, there's this myth with followers of Jesus that there's like multiple levels of followers. Like, you know, you start out and you're just a believer, and then you're a disciple, and then when you're a really good disciple, you become a pastor. And then you know what's on top of that? A missionary. You know, and it's like, whoa, those are really up there. And can I tell you something? That's all wrong. That's all wrong. Let's look at Nicodemus. and compare that mythology of levels of followers of Jesus. When did Nicodemus become a disciple of Jesus? When was it? Was it when he came public? Look at that list there. At what point there, when he was honest, when he began to challenge his thinking, when he spoke up, when was it that he became a disciple of Jesus? I contend that it was the moment he said, "Psst, hey Jesus, can we talk?" It was when he started heading in that direction. We talked about, the picture we painted last week about being public about your faith and what the mature disciple looks like. It's when you start walking in that direction that you become a disciple. That's when discipleship begins. And there are steps and there's maturing in that process. You see, here's the bottom line. Being a disciple is walking in the light that you have. Being a disciple is walking in the light that you have. It's when you start heading in that direction. Now, you may wonder, well, how can we be more effective as we walk in that direction? How can we bring others along with us in that direction? And that's what this series is about. And that's what we'll be taking a look at more in depth in this series. Would you stand with me? I want you to consider this morning where you are in that process. Have you said to Jesus, "I'm yours"? Have you started that journey? Where are you on that journey? Are you struggling to say publicly to somebody else, "Psst, I'm a follower of Jesus"? My challenge for you today is to simply take the next step. Walk in the light that you have. Take that next step, and guess what? More light shows up. More light shows up. Keep stepping, keep walking by faith, and you'll see God do amazing things in and through your life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what he did on our behalf. Thank you for the example of Nicodemus. Thank you for your word that tells us what he was like. He wasn't perfect at the beginning. Neither are we. But you did an amazing thing through Nicodemus. And God, we believe that you're not done doing amazing things. Do that in us and through us. We're simply obedient disciples, following you, learning from you. Please work in us and through us to change this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.